Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجًا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إنه كان توابا صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم Respected and honorable علماء Respected and beloved elders and brothers in Islam Every aspect, every second, every minute of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is meritorious, and to discuss the life of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is worthy of reward from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. When we look at the various events in the life of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will have to believe that every word he uttered, every move he made, every step he took was undoubtedly something worth marveling about, and it was an absolute miracle. We don't want to discuss the entire seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but just a part and glimpses of the Hajjatul Wada of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from which we can gain lessons. On the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, in the 10th year of the Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on the plains of Arafat. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the plains of Arafat, had given that historic khutbah that we have heard from time to time. And then going forward, after the Zuhr and Asr Salah that was joined on Arafat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received that wahi that marked the culmination of this deen of Islam. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati وَرَضِيْتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ The completion, the perfection of this deen of Islam, and this deen being the choice of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Ulama are unanimous that after the revelation of this verse, no hukam, no command had come down to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by way of wahi. There were ayats, there were verses that were revealed after this, but there was no rule, no law, no hukam that was revealed to Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that night spent the night in Muzdalifa, and then the next morning Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moves towards Mina. On this occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ Take from me, learn from me the rules and the laws of Hajj, that perhaps after this year I may not perform Hajj again. Sayyiduna Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on this journey between Muzdalifa and Mina, he explained some of the ahkam, some of the rules of pelting the jamarat, what we call the shaitan. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, la'alli la arakum ba'da ami hadha. Perhaps after this year, I would not see you again. This is now the beginning of the last portion of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to Mina. He pels the Jamara Aqaba, which we will call the big shaitan. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes his sacrifices, he slaughters 63 camels, one for each year. There were 100 in all, but he sacrificed with his own hand the 63. And then the 37, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam handed over to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu to continue. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam calls for the hallaq, the barber, the person that would shave the head of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the narration, his name is Ma'mar ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This fortunate being was that person that not only touched the Mubarak head of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat there, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had moved his head in a way that he had given him the right hand side of his head. He shaved the hair of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the right hand side. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called for Sayyidina Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam handed over to him his hair. Then the left hand side was shaved, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam took that hair and he gave it to Sayyidina Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he said to him, distribute this between my ummah. And friends, we all speak about the Mubarak hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are those individuals that have in their possession the chain of successes from Sayyidina Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu right up to the person who has this Mubarak hair of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam up to this day. Nonetheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam now moves over to Makkah Mukarrama for tawaf-e-ifada, what we will call tawaf-e-ziyara. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes the tawaf-e-ziyara. He performs the two rakats, wajibut tawaf, and then he goes to Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his uncle. Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the person that was in charge of giving the Hujjaj water from the Zamzam. Ulama have written that they would bring out, draw the water out from the well, and they would keep it aside for the Hujjaj to drink. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes to Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he says to Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, give me water to drink. In the meantime, Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu had kept aside water that he had particularly taken out for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He calls upon his wife Ummul Fadl, and he says to her, bring that water which we have kept aside for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam refuses. He did not want to be distinguished from the other Hujjaj. On the other hand, Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in consideration for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that people are putting their hands into the water, perhaps there may be some type of contamination, somebody may have dirt particles on their hands. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not bother about being distinguished, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam drinks from the water that was kept for everyone else. Now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, O Abbas, I would have dismounted and I would have drawn the water from the well with my own hand. But he knew behind him was an ummah that would be enthusiastic to follow
every footstep of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And hence, had he done that, then up to a point in time in Islamic history, till it would have been possible, people would want to draw with their own hands. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then the siqayatul hajj, the people that are drawing out from the well will be overpowered. And hence, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam refrained and he abstained from it. In the narration of Hajjatul Wada, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed the Zuhar Salat in Makkah Mukarrama, and then he came to Mina where he completed the Sunnah of Zuhar. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up to give that famous khutbah. We discussed this khutbah over last year before Eid al-Adha. In between, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam recites the surah in the presence of a few sahaba. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. The surah, according to Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was revealed before the conquest of Makkah. However, the recitation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam here is a very clear message that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reiterating to the Sahaba and of course the Ummah. In one narration, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said at the recitation of the surah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given a slave from amongst the slaves of Allah the option, the choice of remaining in this world with mankind or traversing towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala who hears the surah and he begins to cry. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, O Abbas, what makes you cry? There were other sahaba that were elated at the words of the surah that Allah Ta'ala is making an announcement of joy and happiness. But Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu in their midst begin to cry, and in that crying he says to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this surah is a message of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's choice and decision that now you would have very few days left on the surface of this earth. During the Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a personality, a young boy amongst men. He himself narrates that there were veterans of Badr in the company of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and they would take exception to the fact that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would be accompanied by a young boy like Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu perceived the annoyance of these elderly sahaba, he asked with regards to the surah, that what is your take on the surah? Some said, Allah had given Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam glad tidings. Others have remained silent. Then he asked Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, what is your take on the surah? He said, this surah signaled the end of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the surface of this earth. Coming back to Hajjatul Wada, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam recites the surah, and in this surah, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually transmits what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is highlighting to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, when the nusrat, the help and the victory of Allah ta'ala comes, or the help and the victory of Allah ta'ala has come, in whichever way a person translates it, the victory of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and the help of Allah Ta'ala was actually the victory and the conquest of Makkah. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. What is this nusrat? What is this help of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? Something that you and I quite often overlook for whatever our reasons be. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in Surah Ad-Duha, Allah Ta'ala many years before in the Makki life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَىٰ. O Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the latter part of your life would be better than the former. The life of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah was a life that was scarred with persecution, with boycott, with difficulties that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba had gone through. And it was then that Allah Ta'ala had given Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the glad tidings that the latter part of your life would undoubtedly be far better than the former. And this is that ayat. Allah Ta'ala has now made the announcement, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ, with your own eyes, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you would see mankind يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا, entering the fold of Islam in large numbers. At this point, this message on Hajjatul Wada being reiterated leaves this message for you and I, that how much do we do for this deen of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to progress? What have I done to invite someone else into this deen of Islam? Have I spoken about the beauty of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? Have I shown my akhlaq and my character to someone that is not a Muslim for him to see and then enter the fold of Islam? Each one of us need to ask ourselves this question. It comes in a narration that those Mubarak eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had on one single day seen 700 Yemeni, people of Yemen or Yemeni origin, enter Medina Munawwara, some of them calling out the Adhan, some of them reciting whatever they had known from the Quran, and they came in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and 700 of them all on one single day said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. That with those, your own Mubarak eyes, you will see these people enter the deen of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in large numbers, in armies. As a result of all of that, Allah Ta'ala says, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam three commandments. And again, this is the Nabi of Allah, worthy of emulation, that now O Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, number one, make the tasbih of Allah. Say Subhanallah. Glorify Allah Ta'ala. Celebrate the purity of Allah, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is free of all faults. Number two, praise Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And number three, seek forgiveness from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. There is one amazing aspect of this Quran, that here Allah Ta'ala speaks about fatah, Allah speaks about conquest, Allah speaks about victory, and Allah makes the command of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seeking forgiveness. In Surah Fatah, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina liyaghfira laka Allahu ma taqaddama min dhanbika wa ma ta'akhkhar. Over there, when Allah Ta'ala speaks about fatah and victory, Allah Ta'ala makes it a point of mentioning that Allah has already forgiven Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was, and all Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam were totally and absolutely sinless. But over and above that, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives the guarantee, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives the warranty that if they were and they was not, even then Allah Ta'ala has forgiven Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One great alim on this ayat writes that on the one hand the ayat conveys the message of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself and all the anbiya being sinless. On the other hand, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being showered with the maghfirat of Allah to the extent that he became the means of the maghfirat of others. And despite that fact, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is saying to him, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. Our mother, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the latter part of his life, when he would make ruku', when he would make sujood, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. So on one occasion she asked him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or rather it was a comment, that I observe that you are reciting this abundantly. Now look at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The command of Allah, the fulfillment of the command of Allah Ta'ala was instantaneous. There was no delay. There was no questioning with regards to the command of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So he said to her that Allah has commanded me, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. Our mother, Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, states that I did not see Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sit, nor did I see him stand, nor did I see him in any posture, that whenever he would change a posture, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite, Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi astaghfirullah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves this very powerful message for this ummah, that when I, being Nabi Masoom, a sinless Nabi of Allah, Allah had commanded me to carry out these deeds, yet I did not question Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. There was never hesitation in fulfilling the command of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam abided by the command of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Brothers and friends, just one or two aspects with regards to making tasbih. In one hadith, lengthy hadith, just one part of the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about the virtue of Subhanallah. He says, Tamla'ul Mizan. One Subhanallah is sufficient to fill the scales of justice on the day of Qiyamah. Subhanallahi walhamdulillah, tamla'u ma bayna as-sama'i wal-ard. To say Subhanallah walhamdulillah will fill the gap between this earth and the first sky. And that is a distance of 500 years of travel. That is just one Subhanallah wal alhamdulillah. Ulama have written, in the wisdom of Subhanallah and Alhamdulillah, that generally we as insan, we have three inherent weaknesses. I myself, and I'll speak for myself, I always feel I'm free of fault. I will look at the fault of others. For myself, I will use a telescope. A telescope sees the wonder of the stars. And I'm looking for the star in myself. And for everyone else, I will use the microscope that looks for the germs of the ills and the evils of others. The second inherent weakness we have is that each person feels that he is worthy of praise. Each person feels that he is praiseworthy. Sometimes we go out looking for comments. And each person, the third inherent weakness we have, is we all feel we better than the other. How is it that I would look for the faults of others, and yet I wouldn't want anyone to look for my own faults? This is that message that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala left in the surah to the most perfect of the creations of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After he had left this world, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu on one occasion addressed the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and he said, the purity and the perfection of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can be judged by the fact that tomorrow when he stands on the day of Qiyamah, there is not a single human, Muslim or kafir, there is not a single creation, human or non-human, that will have any recourse, any claim against Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And yet it is that being, that Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had commanded that you should make this tasbih, say subhanallah, say alhamdulillah, say astaghfirullah. Innahu kana tawwaba. Certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that accepts the repentance of an individual. Brothers and friends, from time to time in life, we make errors, we make mistakes. On the Mi'raj, when Nabi alayhi salatu was salam was in the seventh sky, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam was there. In the narration, he reports and he says that I saw two groups of my ummah. One group with their faces shining and glowing, and the other with their faces scarred. That group whose faces were scarred were diving or jumping into the ponds that were there, and when they would exit and come out, their faces also shone. I asked Jibreel alayhi salam, O Jibreel, who are these people? Jibreel alayhi salam said, the first group are those people in your ummah who tried to abstain from sin. Brothers, if there's anything that we need to do, we always make niyyah to carry out a deed. Let us try something else. Let us make niyyah not to commit a sin. And do this on a daily basis. Oh Allah, you've given me this day. Give me the tawfiq to abstain from sin. Make the niyat of abstinence from sin. And see the distance then between us and Allah Ta'ala that we will traverse, and the closeness we will gain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second group were that people who committed sins, but they didn't stop there. They sought forgiveness from Allah. They made tawbah. And how easy it is, like diving into the ocean, diving into a pond, diving into a river, and coming out cleansed. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had forgiven them. And hence, this incident of the Hajjatul Wada, we can do the calculation, the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, and then it was the month of Muharram, the month of Safar, the month of Rabiul Awwal, thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had left this world. Some ulama have stated that Surah An-Nasr, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ was the last complete surah that was revealed to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After that, Allah Ta'ala had revealed Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. And then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had revealed one ayah of inheritance. And then Allah Ta'ala had revealed لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. And then Allah Ta'ala revealed, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ, that fear the day you will return to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.